It's Friday, June 24th, 2005, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. My name is Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during this program are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today on Geek Speak, after a spot of geek news, we'll be speaking with Pam Lee from ATI Graphics, all about graphics cards, and specifically about video editing, PVR, personal video recorders, and about quiet computers to some degree as well. That's during the first half of the show. During the second half of the show, I'll welcome you to join our conversation. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. You can, of course, go to GeekSpeak and click on Contact Us, geekspeak.org, that is. I'll give out that contact information again when I invite your participation in about a half an hour. Hello, geeks. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Good morning.
In the air with me, I have Sean Cleveland, Senior PR Marketing Manager for NetCell, Drew Meyer, Storage Specialist at Adaptec, and Chris Dumphy, who was once the Director of Competitive Analysis for PalmSurf and is still now the Chief Installer Dude.
Chief Installer Dude is a good way to put it, yes.
Now, what's on your business card?
Oh, that has anything to do with reality.
Yeah, I think I'm a Product Marketing Manager.
Mine says President of the Universe, but no one treats me that way.
Welcome to Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Troxell, and we're going to do some geek news before we get into a discussion about ATI graphics, and we're going to start today because Chris is here, and he's not here very often. Chris, the handheld geek, what's up?
Well, let's see. The coolest bit of handheld news is Palm One has just released the update for the Treo 650 that fixes some memory issues.
Okay, so software update's the big deal.
Software update. If you have a Treo 650, go get this update from palm1.com. The original Treo 650 has the same amount of physical memory as the Treo 600, but the way it's organized internally actually had it work out that you ended up with less available memory.
Okay.
They've fixed that with a new upgrade. So
now, this is a high-end phone.
Awesome phone.
And it's basically a Palm device and a phone and a camera and everything.
Yeah, it's internet, email. It does not let you fly, but you can take it with you when you fly. It's got a camera on it.
Last night we were at the Kumba Jazz Festival, Kumba Jazz Center, and grooving on Steve Abrams and his whole orchestra, his whole band. I should know all their names, and I don't. I feel sorry. But it was a wonderful show, and during the end of it, when my three-year-old was getting a little anxious, you pulled out the phone and handed it to him and started giving him games.
Yeah.
And you were downloading games on the fly that looked like they would be appropriate for a three-year-old.
Yeah, this was actually really fun. It's like, how do I entertain a three-year-old? And this is one of the projects I've worked on, is making it really easy to get software over the air. And use the stuff I worked on. It's like, okay, find stuff for three-year-olds. Here it is. And all this.
You found how to draw letters.
Yeah,
game.
The educational, like, here's how to do your ABCs and how to write your letters. And he was loving it.
And Wyatt drew his first C last night. I was pretty stoked.
Yeah, and another game where he was feeding fish by tapping on the screen. And it was great. Yeah, so it's a tool.
Technology is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it didn't interfere with the jazz, which is nice.
It did not.
Technology is kind of cool.
Gee.
Quote of the day. Sean Cleveland. Hi, bud. What's up?
Hey. Well, I don't have upbeat news. I'm sorry.
Oh,
but
no.
But this is kind of important. We all remember Jack Kilby, who is the 1958 inventor of the integrated circuit and co-inventor of the handheld electronic calculator, passed away.
Oh.
He died of cancer at the age of 81 on Monday in Dallas. He's best known as working for Texas Instruments. It was the only company that agreed to let him work on component miniaturization more or less full-time.
Gosh. Just like to find the world.
You know, and because of that, today we have, modern electronics and microprocessors.
Yeah. His idea, of course, is that you can make a circuit in a component instead of a small circuit that was pluggable, if you will.
He built his very first integrated circuit into a piece of semiconducting material half the size of a paperclip. And this is back in, 1958.
Yeah, that's big. Before that, people were just duplicating tubes. That's a great loss for technology or for society or something to that nature, but we'll miss that geek.
We got to remember him. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll go on to Drew Meyer. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So I think appropriate for local news as well as nationwide, worldwide, SCO has released their Open Server 6 new Unix version, which is taking a big step for them, pushing their Unix line forward. It's kind of an exciting event for us local folk here in Santa Cruz, right?
Of course, they're based, I think, in San Jose now or
no, I think, well, oh, yeah, I take it back. They have a development office no longer here, but it's in Scotts Valley, but it's sort of regional.
So this new operating system, it's what's special about it?
It's a version of Unix. SCO still distributes and manufactures a Unix flavor, which is licensed from AT&T, I believe. But it's the actual true Unix version, not Linux. And this takes some of the best features. They had split that into two different code forks, they call it, or two different trees. And this brings the best of both together. Takes the best of Open Server and the best of Unixware and sticks them together and calls
it's nice
it Open
hear,
Server 6.
It's nice to hear from SCO that there's actually product that they produce and work that they do. And we always hear, all the headlines are always this, you know, lawsuits and patents and infringements. And so it's nice to hear, oh, yeah, they do produce operating system. I remember when I was moved down to Los Angeles for a short jaunt in my life, leaving my hometown of Santa Cruz. And I was at a company, and we were doing stuff, and we were talking about what operating system to put on, and someone was like, well, we're going to do your hometown operating system. And I went, what? Yeah, SCO is Santa Cruz Operations.
Santa Cruz Operations.
It's the most secure operating system that's available at this point. And I was like, wow, oh, cool. And I had no idea that it was Santa Cruz. Of course, that was before. I was real geeky out. So it's nice to see that Santa Cruz, they go by SCO directly.
SCO,
now.
I think, is the official term. Yeah,
but it's still
cool. This is a burly thing. I mean, look at this thing with respect. It can handle up to 32 AMD or Intel processors and 16 gigabytes of general purpose RAM.
That's
clearly an enterprise class server operating system.
Great. Thank you for the update. Back to you, Chris.
I'm out of news.
You're out of news? Yeah. Well, you look so good, though. It's okay. We're not here. We don't have you on for your news. We have you on for your expertise in everything geeky. Well, what's your favorite phone right now? Is it the Treo as well?
Oh, the Treo 650 rocks. I've got mine for just about a month now, and it's just so much fun.
Now, you're a dual-purpose Windows and Mac guy, and last night you were telling me that you use your Windows machine quite a bit more, and it's about the hardware. Just like me, the reason why I started using Mac is because it was so easy to turn it on all the time.
Yeah.
And so you've got your tablet PC in front of you. Are you happy with that?
I like it. You know, one of the things it's really tiny. It's really portable, and the way it kind of sits here. It's hard to describe how it physically is over the radio, but it works really great on airplane seats. You know, you don't have the screen. It comes up from the middle of the keyboard, not back.
Yeah. So what is that? What version? What is it?
This is an HP TC 1100, I believe.
All right. And you recommend it?
It's a good tablet PC. I think there's probably a newer version. This one's a year old, but I like this one a lot.
All right. Going to you, sure. Sean, sir? Sure?
Sure.
Nice. So
I don't think I've had coffee
There's
yet.
not a lot of good news this week, really. It's very
don't
bored by
more
it all.
Depressing.
Well, no. Nope. Well, Google CEO Eric Schmidt confirmed that they may start their own payment service. Or I guess they're going to.
Like a PayPal type thing?
Yeah, they said they're not going to specifically compete with PayPal, but I don't see how you couldn't.
Well, this is Google. They could compete with the U.S. Treasury.
So, you know, more to come on that. I don't know. More interesting, Battlefield 2 shipped this week.
Ooh.
Okay, Sean, last night we had an argument because we do LAN games, first-person LAN games, and Sean, you and I are the ones that set it up for our friends.
Yep.
And we set up, you know, rooms of 19 people with computers, and we get the games all working on all of them.
Yep.
And so last couple of times we've played cooperative games where we're doing fighting computers, and we co-oply work, and we work
well,
with
co-op
joint
is we're all playing on the same team.
Same team,
so
right.
So if we're playing a World War II sim, we're all playing allies.
And there's a medic, and there's an engineer,
fighting,
and so on.
Yeah, computer-based access. You know.
Right. So that game, Joint Ops, is actually quite an old game. So recently Battlefield 2 has come out, and they just announced that they're not going to have multiplayer automated fighting people.
Bots.
Bots, what they're called. I'm trying to describe it more. So you passed me last night. I was like, look, if it doesn't have that, we're not playing it. And you're like, no, we're playing it because it's great. And I said, but graphic cards, we can't do it. And maybe we'll get more graphics cards. You know, it was a bit of a fight last night. We don't normally fight, but we fought through it. And so last night...
Well, no, you were wrong. So I was very calm about
okay,
it
okay, we fight over the radio as well. So so last night, after we went to the Kuba Jazz Center and enjoyed some music, Chris Dunphy here, and I went back and installed the demo of Battlefield 2 on both the machines at home. And we played for 4 hours? 5 hours?
It was pretty darn late.
It was late before we went to sleep, and it is an amazing game.
See? Now you are infected by the Battlefield 2 virus.
It's a really impressive game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're talking an extremely violent game. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I like to play it, but, you know, I did.
Yeah, but it's a fictional war, so you don't have to feel bad about fighting in it,
okay.
Right? And you're killing, you know, I don't know, digital AI.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go on to Drew, because he looks like he's got another story burning through his heart.
I do. I love this story. All right. So the rats took down the Kiwi telecoms.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, a bunch of several rats, we don't know how many, but they gnawed through a cable that crippled telecommunication services across New Zealand for more than 4 hours. The outage affected about 100,000 customers, and the nation's stock exchange closed for most of the trading day because of the outage.
Wow.
It was actually a special forces team of 12 rats.
Battlefield 2 playing rats, right? They attacked a cable on a bridge north of Wellington that was protected by a steel duct.
Attacked a cable.
Yeah, well, that's a little dramatic.
Nod on.
So the Telecom New Zealand general manager says that told the New Zealand Herald that they gnaw at the entry points, they burrow underground, and they found a way in. And so the New Zealand telecom company is seeking compensation from the electricity company because the electricity company should have been responsible for having a backup, and their backup was down at the time.
Wow.
So
a whole country went out, basically, from
well, rodent. 100,000 people. I'm not sure how many are in New Zealand.
It's strange how common this kind of occurrence is. At UCSC, where I work, recently, about 6 months ago or so, a rat chewed through some fiber or something. The rat was destroyed.
So the land of Middle Earth without internet connectivity, what is a hobbit to do?
you all are aware of Pinky and the Brain. You know, this is part of the plan.
This is part of the world. They tried New Zealand next to the next. Thank you, Drew, for that that rotified experience. Sean, if you can maintain your...
I think we should move on. Let's.
You want to talk, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, let's get to the meat here.
You know, we don't have... Oh, it looks like Pamela's coming online. Pam's coming online right now. So, okay, ATI is... There's basically two graphics card companies at this point that make chips, ATI and NVIDIA.
Well, there are more, but these are the two largest.
It doesn't matter. And is that fair? So ATI Technologies, Canada-based, they've got a new product called the ATI All-in-Wonder. And, All-in-Wonder... 2006, if you will. Sean, you want to give us a brief while I get Pam online?
Yeah, this is the new... Well, Chris should be the one. Chris is the former technical editor of Boot Magazine, and
oh,
he covered the very first All-in-Wonder video card.
So what do you think of
I gave the very first All-in-Wonder Editor's Choice Award.
Editor's Choice Award, good.
It's you know, been a huge All-in-Wonder fan ever since.
Why is it called the All-in-Wonder?
Well, let's let Pam... answer that. Pam Lee, product manager for ATI. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So, why do they call it the All-in-Wonder?
So, the All-in-Wonder, I guess, confuses a lot of people because they don't know what it does. And, like the name implies, it's an all-in-one solution. So, as you first introduced ATI as being a big graphics company, that we are. And we've actually incorporated our key graphics technology, the Radeon graphics, in our All-in-Wonders. And we've added a lot of other features on top of that. So the All-in-Wonder gives consumers the ability to watch television on their PC. It gives them the capabilities of the personal video recording features. So for people out there who know what TiVo is,
does anyone here know TiVo?
TiVo?
Sure, of course.
You all have TiVos, right?
It's like a religion. Yeah.
It's basically the ability to set up what you want to watch and have it record. So you're saying that this card can help a computer do that?
Yes. So what's unique about it is that, like TiVo, you can pause live television. So, if you have a phone call coming in, you can pause your program and then resume where you left off. You could schedule recordings. And what's unique about our software that comes shipping with the All-in-Wonders is that we give users a free interactive programming guide so that you can download listings for 2 weeks at a time, schedule recordings, and then have that stored on your hard drive.
And that's kind of one of the most important features for a media center. You have to know which programs are out there to record.
Exactly.
Yeah, otherwise, it's not like a VCR where you could just say, record at this time to this time. Although I suppose you probably could, right?
You could. You could just... I mean, with our software, it eliminates the need to do that because you can see in front of you, okay, this program will be on at 8 p.m. tomorrow. And so you can schedule the recording and then know that, when you come back 2 days from now, you can watch that program at your own leisure.
Right.
And, I mean, the best thing is that we can also have the capability of burning that onto DVD. So if you want to watch it at your friend's house or if you would like to share it with someone in your family, you could do that.
So if you've got a computer already right now that's like
couple years old or less and has a DVD burner in it, you could get this card and start recording and burning television.
Yes, you can.
Now, what about noise? Because my personal computer is like the... I mean, you don't really want a computer that's making a lot of noise in your living room or wherever you have your television. So how do you deal with that?
So the All-in-Wonder 2006 is, like I mentioned, not just a graphics processor, TV tuner. It has video editing capabilities. But just because we have so many features all on one card doesn't mean we have a noisy fan. So this is actually a passive heat sink, which means it doesn't have a physical fan that makes noise on there. So if you want to have it in your living room, like a media center PC, it could sit in your living room and be a very quiet solution.
Assuming that your computer is also quiet.
Yes, assuming your computer is also quiet.
So last night I was playing with two ATI cards. We were playing with 9800, which is kind of your premiere, or was your premiere 6 months ago, and a 9700 All-in-Wonder, which is kind of like this card, but a slightly higher for like high-end graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing, and of course we had headphones blaring because we have the game environment going. And so I come in this morning, I'm like, wow, why are they releasing a new card that's a 9600, which... from a geek's perspective, is a downgrade in video, and then it really hit. It's because these high-end gaming cards, the performance levels push so high that you have to put tons of fans on them, and they're quite loud. And in a gaming environment, it's not a big deal because you've got headphones on and they're blaring too. You're kind of fighting the noise.
Exactly.
But in a television environment, you can't have that. So this 9600 level, you don't need a fan on it.
You don't, and the 9600 is actually a great graphics processor as well. So we realize the mainstream consumer out there, like you mentioned, is not necessarily a hardcore gamer. What they're concerned with is watching TV on their PC, doing video editing, and occasionally playing games.
Well, and when we say high-end game, it means basically if it was released in the last 2 months, you might not be able to play it perfectly.
Actually, this chip would...
9600 would play any of these games.
Yeah, it would, because it is DirectX 9.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All the newer games which have that enabled, you can play with the 9600.
Yeah.
And so that's why we are focusing the 2006 around the 9600.
And it's why it's an all-in-wonder. It does.
And that's why it's an all-in-wonder.
Yeah, it's plenty powerful enough to play the latest games.
As Apple's showing, people do want to edit their personal videos. I mean, people seem to be doing that. And you, along with being able to import television and record it and burn DVDs, your package also has a whole editing suite involved, which is Pinnacle, which is one of the premier video editing suites.
Exactly.
How do you work that into the package?
So what we do is come shipping in the box is a complete solution for the end user. So the moment you open it up, you have everything you need. It comes with optional remote controls, so people who would like to use their All-in-Wonder system as a media PC, you can control it from a 10-foot user interface, so you don't have to sit right next to your computer. And this time around, we've added 256 megabytes of memory, so that's an upgrade from the old All-in-Wonder 9600. So now you have more memory to play with. We have Media Center Edition support, so Microsoft's new operating system, MCE.
Which, can you tell us a little bit about MCE?
So MCE is another operating system based on XP, and it essentially provides users pretty much, you know, the same functionality as XP Pro, but there's more of a focus on media. So your photos, your videos, watching TV on your media PC, all of that is combined on one system. So you have that, a very simple user interface that Microsoft developed that you can use to do all of that.
Okay, so that's the reason for it. So your system integrates now, the 9600, this new 2006 will integrate with that operating system.
Yes, exactly.
All right, great. We're speaking with Pam Lee from ATI. The other geeks in the geeks in the house locally are Chris Dunphy, Sean Cleveland, and Drew Meyer, and we're talking about graphics cards. We're talking about personal video recorders, which is the PVR. We just mentioned the whole Microsoft's new Media Edition, if you will. Let's go into, and we're talking about quiet computers as well. In the PVR environment, after you get this card, the next step is to get large hard drive arrays, because what's going to happen is the more hard drive space you have, the more shows you can record. Is there like a recommendation for what size of free space you need?
So the unique thing about the software that we ship with the All-in-Wonder 2006, it's actually ATI's Multimedia Center, and we give users the ability to select what type of format they would like to record in. So some formats require more space to store the files, and some require less. So we actually generally will recommend a system with like an Intel Pentium 4 or Celeron, AMD or something that's compatible.
Mm-hmm.
We also recommend 128 megs of system memory. 256 or higher is recommended. And all you need is an AGP slot for the solution.
That doesn't sound like a lot of requirements. You've got a computer in the last 3 years and you got that.
No, and because you can record in MPEG or MPEG 2 or 4, AVI, and all these other different formats, you can actually cut down on the amount of hard drive space that you do require. And because we do have if you do have DVD burning capabilities, you can actually burn it and then erase it from your hard drive completely.
Right. That's really nice.
So, Pamela, a lot of people wonder why you need so much memory on a video card. You're putting 256 megs, which is, you know, it's great, especially for some of the newer games. Is that needed for video too?
Yes, and as you notice higher and higher quality out there, you do need more memory, but at the same time there comes a point when you don't really notice too much of a difference between, let's say, 256 and 512.
Right.
Because
Your
frame buffer is large enough at that point that you aren't slowing things down.
Well,
you aren't dropping frames.
256 is really good, and most of the games are recommending 128 of graphics card memory.
Mm-hmm.
So 256, you're doubling that. That's a pretty stacked card. And it was kind of interesting for Sean. I think we both noticed that extra RAM. Are you using that RAM to do the MPEG encoding? Is that MPEG encoding all happening on card?
So the MPEG encoding is actually software encoded for the All-in Wonders. We do have a hardware encoded solution, but that isn't on the All-in Wonder. The 256 adds value to the card in itself right there.
Yeah, definitely.
And you get better performance. And you did mention earlier the fact that we do bundle software with it. We do allow you to connect S-Video or composite input. So if you have, a VCR or a camcorder that you'd like to convert files digitally, you can do that with the All-in Wonder.
You know, one thing I noticed on television-type things, even like the TiVos, which are really defined for television, the screen reading stuff on text and screen and stuff is kind of yucky because the pixels aren't really there. This card, though, you can do a monitor and a television, and they're two different signals?
Mm-hmm. So it has dual VGA support. So if you connect to both, you will notice really good quality.
Right.
What happens sometimes is if your card does not support that, like you mentioned, it will be blurry or the text will not look good.
Right. Well, especially on the television.
So is this thing designed to be a video capture card or a graphics card or a TV card or what?
Yes.
Primarily
it's designed
covered.
To be everything that you just mentioned.
Wow.
It really is.
Does it do any of them well? Is that a fair question?
No, but go ahead and answer it, Pam.
Of course.
Of course. It does all of them excellent.
This product would be on the market if it wasn't a great one.
I have an All-in Wonder at home, and I'm using it to capture stuff, to capture specifically VHS tapes, because though I've got a DV camera that uses FireWire, and that's why I import that, all my old VHS tapes, you can't get on the computer. So I use this card. You can also tune to television and record straight off. It's pretty cool.
And it is cool because I know a lot of families out there do have a lot of VHS tapes from the past that, mm-hmm. Just degrade with time. And so if you convert them using your All-in Wonder, you can actually touch them up, edit them, and then store them digitally and pretty much indefinitely.
Right. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering extensive selection of computer and electronics parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. We are opening the show up now to take your calls with questions and comments. We don't want to make this a tech call for ATI cards. There's a great tech call numbers for that for ATI, but this is more of a discussion about the cards in a general purpose. But we will take your tech questions regarding technology of any sort. The geeks always do that. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. We are speaking with Pam Lee, product marketing manager for ATI. We'll be with her in a moment.
This week in This American Life, a dozen little boys crowd into a pitch-black bathroom. Little boys chant to make a bloody face appear in a mirror. Also, camp dances, fake Indian powwow, singing in the mess hall, color wars.
Bloody Mary, stop! Crap, it does.
If you didn't go to summer camp this summer, come with us this week on This American Life from Public Radio International.
That's Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on KUSP.
The Friends of Locally Owned Water, which is Flo, is featuring a benefit swing dance, including free swing dance lessons, on Saturday, tomorrow, June 25th, at 7:30 p.m. at Felton Community Hall. Information is at 335-3053.
You're listening to Geek Speak. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. I'm Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Sean Cleveland, Drew Meyer, and, of course, Chris Dumphy. And we are speaking with Pam Lee from ATI about graphics cards, specifically their new ATI 2006, a home video television solution for your computer. And we are also taking your calls now, 476-2800, or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Of course, you can use the Internet at geekspeak.org. Click on Contact Us. This program is supported by a grant from CruiseIR, providing Internet services, including DSL, spam filters, PHP, and MySQL, now with nationwide access. Information about CruiseIR membership is available online at cruiseio.com or by calling 459-6301. Pam, thanks for staying with us during the second half.
Thank you.
You want to go ahead and mention the video editing capabilities. What can you do on this with video?
So you can, as we mentioned, capture from different devices, not just television. You can capture from VHS tapes or camcorders or even DVDs. And the best thing is that we ship with video editing software in the box. So it comes with Pinnacle Studio 9 and Movie Auto Producer. So both of those are video editing software. One is more for the high-end user, and one is just for the mainstream. And you can actually just whip a nice home video together very quickly, mm-hmm. and you don't even need to be an expert.
Right.
And so you can do that. You can add music files if you like. You can add transitions. And all of this, just the software itself, is actually worth well over $80 to $100.
So the DVD recording software, when you actually record a TV show to a DVD, is that playable on any DVD player?
Yes, it is. So okay. you can watch it on your computer, or if you burn it to DVD,
right.
watch it wherever you like.
I've used the new TiVo software to pull shows off my TiVo across the network to my computer, mm-hmm. and you have to have it password encoded. And you can only play on the machine that you copied it over to.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so this
very
is
difficult to put it on something
advantage.
You can share.
This is a great advantage of the All in Wonder because you are able to record it onto your hard drive and then, you know, transfer it. And what a lot of people don't think about is transferring it to portable media devices. So mm-hmm. if you have a PSP, you can
that's the handheld Sony PlayStation.
Yes, it is. So you can convert it to PSP format and watch it.
Yes. And Pam, what do you recommend for storing your videos onto your computer? You suggested that you could do MPEG 2, MPEG 4, or AVI. What's the format that's conserving space but keeps quality?
Well, generally people use MPEG. I would say AVI. The files are a lot larger, but you do get better quality. We also support like WMV and a lot of other formats too. So really what you capture it, the quality in, you can still, there are transcoders out there that you can convert the files.
You know, MPEGs for DVDs are, you know, the DVD format's actually MPEGs that are actually on the DVD. But normally when you're recording, you record your files to your computer and then you've got to make the DVD, you have to re-encode that. Is there a step in the process where you don't have to re-encode and you can just copy them to a DVD to create the DVD?
Unfortunately not.
No, yeah, it seems like a difficult problem because no one seems to address it. It's frustrating. I remember when we first were doing DVD burning, so for movies, Sean and I were constantly trying to get the right encoded version, and you burn it to a normal DVD, and it creates all of a sudden magically a DVD you can play in the videotape. And now everything has actual DVD creator tools that make movies.
We have really made it a lot easier, too, because the unified software that we do ship with really simplifies the process. And for people out there who may not know how to do this, if you go to www.ati.com, we do have user bases and knowledge bases there that you can just look up frequently asked questions, and it'll just run you through like how to do everything that you are interested in.
So how well suited is this card for working with HDTV? Is this a solution for that?
Yes, you can actually output to component output. So if you have an HDTV and you'd like to watch on that, you could do that with the card. So if you're using it as a media PC and you have a home entertainment system, you can do that.
But do you need a special, a different tuner, right? ATI is a different tuner that you need if you want to record
HDTV. So there's two different issues at hand. So there's analog tuners, which allow you to watch cable television, and then there's high definition. And we do have a HDTV Wonder. Mm-hmm. So it's a TV tuner product only. It doesn't have graphics on that card as well. But if you do have the HDTV Wonder, you can watch both analog and free-to-air. So all the ATSC signals that are broadcasted by your local stations,
right,
you can tune in on that and even record in HD and
so
watch.
So let's say you have some HD content or you buy this add-in card that allows you to tune in HD content, and it's on your computer now. Can you output that at HD quality to a player through the 2006 All-in Wonder?
So, yes. It doesn't come with the dongles or cables that you need, but you can go on a website and as an accessory get that.
So it can output the quality of that.
It can.
Nice. Well, that's a big feature because, of course, getting to HD is difficult. We are taking calls and questions about technology. The phone numbers are 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. We're going to go to Ted and Capitola in just a second. But first, I want to ask you about what kind of components. Once we finish Ted's calls, we're going to go into how do you build a personal video recorder? What kind of components you need? What kind of television do you need? Things of that nature. Let's go ahead and go now to Capitola. Ted, welcome to Geek Speak. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
Mike, this is not directly about this interesting little device that you're talking about this morning. I'll have to go to the electronics shop and straighten that out.
Okay.
But in any case, what I'm concerned about is I got upgraded Windows XP. What a sweaty job that was.
Service Pack 2?
What?
Was it Service Pack 2 you mean you upgraded? Or you went from, like, 98 to XP?
Unfortunately, I went from ME to XP.
Ooh, yeah.
This tangles things up a bit. And so, anyway, now that I've got it on there, first I went for underwater, you know, the goldfish and all that.
For the screensaver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it had the bubbles, and it had the little diver, and it had the starfish and all.
That doesn't come with Windows XP, though.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, that's a separate application.
Oh, so then XP transferred that.
From ME.
Brought it over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to use that screensaver anymore. Now, are all the other screensavers going to be also?
So if you right-click on your desktop and you go to Properties, that'll bring up your display properties.
Right.
And one of the tabs is Screensaver.
Right.
And that's where you go to change your screensaver.
And there's a big list of choices.
I know, a huge list. And so I went to clouds and with the science thing so that it looked like the storm was
swirling. Oh, you know what? You have the Media Center add-on for Windows 98, and it worked for Windows ME, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. None of those screensavers you just talked about come with Windows XP.
So what's your question, though, Ted?
Well, is there any other way to get a reasonably pleasing screensaver, or I can use the Windows logo, I guess, although I hate that.
There should be other screensavers that come with XP. So, Ted, is the issue that you don't like those screensavers, kind of sick of those screensavers at this point?
Well, how could I get rid of the stuff that was transferred from ME? Because it's the sound effects I hate.
Is it rotating through them? Is that the thing?
No.
Well, just switch to one that's like that doesn't have sound effects.
You should be able to turn those off by clicking the settings button.
Yeah, setting. You can turn the sound off.
You go to you click right next to the where you select the screensaver.
Yeah.
There's a button called Settings.
Yeah.
That should bring up an interface where you can turn off the sound.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give it a whirl, and thank you.
Good luck, Ted. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Well, Pam, we just got the ATI All-in Wonder 2006. Just came in from FedEx a moment ago. Sean just whipped it out of the box, and we're all taking a look at it. So thank you for getting that to us. We didn't get a chance to play with it. We will, and we'll report next week on the show. We have another call coming in. I want to welcome other people to go ahead and get on the line if they'd like. 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Pam, is there something you want to tell us about the All-in Wonder as Sean's opening it up?
You will notice that, it, like I mentioned, it does come with everything in the box, the card. We do have remote control offers on there that you can redeem depending on which operating system you have. It has complete domino blocks that allow you to input and output to and from the card. and it has the free software that I mentioned. So
and it's got no fan, which is really nice for
really none computers. Which, yeah, you're right. Wow,
the no fan is really.
You just don't
nice.
See that anymore.
Fanless solution.
So this is one of the things I was looking for. So I'm glad I pulled the box open. So I'm taking a look at how you connect all these things to the back of your computer. Because we're talking about one slot. And you basically have this massive, well, this little block.
Looks like a squid.
Adapter.
With, 6 different connectors. You got digital audio and video. You got 2 VGA connectors online. So it'd be really easy to hook up monitors.
Oh, nice.
That's really sweet. I'm going to have to do dual head at home. Try that out. And then you've got a stereo sound, I'm assuming, out from the TV. You can plug it into your sound card. And then you've got S-Video, it looks like, out.
That's correct.
So it does not
And there's actually a purple connector there, too, that you can connect our input blocks to.
Wow.
So
and that connects directly to the card.
And that connects directly to the card, and then you can connect your...
And there's you've got your input. You've got stereo left and right.
So you don't have to back a PC up to the TV.
So what's cool about this card, too, is that we have digital audio on board, so it's not necessary to connect from your graphics to your sound card anymore that.
Okay, so what is that little out then for?
It's just there for legacy purposes.
And it's also nice to have an extra out, on your machine, to have some options.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're taking calls and questions. We're talking about video cards. We don't have to take your question about video cards. We can take your questions about anything. Phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. I'm going to Los Osos. Josh, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I'm getting real close to pulling the trigger on buying a Mac.
Uh-oh.
I'm using a PC. Question, I learned that I guess I can use a right-click, left-click mouse on a Mac now.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right. You just buy a USB mouse. I like the Logitech mice. I use that whenever I really want to do something on a Mac. You've got to have a right mouse button.
Which seems to be, it's something I got very used to using on Word.
Yeah.
And then the other question is drawing programs. I used to use AutoCAD quite a bit. Wondering if there's anything out there.
Are you looking for 3D rendering type things, or just?
I don't have to have 3D. It's going to be used architecturally. So.
Well, that's going to cost you. Anytime you get a pretty high-end program, it's going to cost you. If you want to do architecture stuff, there's tons of stuff on the Mac. I would say that it's probably going to be pricier than the stuff on the Windows machines because the Windows just has a bigger market, a lot more people compiling for it. I personally like a thing called SketchUp. That's a drafting program and 3D rendering program. It's mostly designed for fast 3D stuff, but if I do any kind of to-scale drawings, I'd be using an application called SketchUp. You can give that a shot. They've got, an 8-hour trial, but it's pricey. Other than that, on a Windows, you could, of course, go with something like Illustrator, but it's not going to be tagged for schematic drawing, if you will, or
right,
to measurement
yeah.
drawing. So, no, I think you'll find the solutions, but you really want to try this out before you make the switch, because you're going to, after you switch, you're going to go, oh, I wish I had that one app. And maybe that's AutoCAD for you. Maybe there is AutoCAD for the Mac. I'm not even sure.
I understand there's actually a way you could save AutoCAD drawings into some kind of language or
file. I
think
it's called DXF. Now I'm blanking on the name of it. But yeah, there's definitely AutoCAD files, basically. Anybody else that does any kind of drawing of that nature has to be able to import them. So you're pretty much set. Your drawings aren't going to be lost. That's a great file format for 3D. It's a great file format for measured drawings, if you will. So, Josh, have you played with a Mac yet?
Well, a little bit, but not for quite a few years. I used to use them quite exclusively.
Don't take the dive until you do that.
Right.
And you probably won't be disappointed. We're going to go on to the next call, but thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Sean, you wanted to...
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about building a media center.
Let's talk about building a media center. Alex, we'll have to wait for a moment.
We've got a card right here that's really quiet and is meant specifically for this. I've tried to build a media center in the past, and when you put it next to your television, you're watching a movie, with the action scenes, no big deal. You don't hear the computer. But in those nice quiet moments...
The romantic moments?
You hear the fans. and it just drives you crazy. So I kind of wanted to... I have a few recommendations because I've been building some machines lately, and I wanted a quiet machine for my back room.
Yeah.
And I went through a bunch of power supplies, and the Antec True Power or Neo Power power supplies, wow, they're awesome.
Well,
they're very quiet, and they have specific fan plugs that you plug all your fans into, and it regulates the control based on the how hot your processor is. You plug
wow.
in,
so
and it is. Oh my gosh, I can't even hear my machine in the back room, and it's pretty powerful. I mean, it's got a lot of hardware in it.
I'm bringing this up because last night we're playing these games and they were loud. Chris was talking about how you want
to
make a...
I need to build a new home computer and it's going to be in my bedroom at the foot of the bed.
Is it
going to
be a video editing type of thing?
I want it to be high-end gaming, high-end video, HDTV. I need a higher-end card for that.
Because
I want really high-end gaming, sure. But I want it to be quiet.
So... Well, you can't do quiet high-end video card. This is the top of the line for quiet.
You'd be surprised. Some of the newer video cards aren't that loud.
Really?
Yeah, but this is really the way to go. This is not loud at all.
The 600, yeah.
Voodoo PC actually sells this amazing ultra-high-end computer that uses liquid cooling for everything, so it's completely fanless and still super top of the line.
The pump does make noise, by the way, but not as much.
The Voodoo one apparently does not.
Okay, so Sean, you're saying that the big important thing is your power supply.
Power supply, the Antec True Power or Neo Power. I have a True Power 2.0. And I love it. I wouldn't get rid of it for anything. And then I also got a heat sink fan combo for my Athlon 64 processor. It's a Zalman. It's huge. It looks like a big metal flower with a bunch of fins. But it is quiet.
Big metal flower.
So I'll put those links up on the GeekSpeak website.
Yeah, that's great to get power supplies. What about hard drives? What do you recommend, Sean, or the Geeks and Dragons?
Seagate Barracuda, the new 7 Series, really quiet.
Drew, you're a storage guy.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that. Seagate's doing a pretty good job right now.
Barracudas.
Hitachi's got some brand new stuff. There's a new 500 gigabyte drive that's out, but you know, it depends on what you want to spend.
Actually, that new 500 gigabyte drive, really interesting. It's got special software where you can tune it for quiet, to make it quiet. Or if you're working video and you need more speed out of it, you don't care about noise, you can modify it so that's faster.
So we're talking about the Hitachi 500.
The new 500. Yeah, it's a serial ATA 2 drive. But it's not available yet.
It's just been announced and it's just starting to ship. Don't forget about Maxstor, too. They make a lot of good stuff. It's all so close to each other.
You know, the drives, they really are. I was just kind of had this catharsis recently about hard drives. You know, you get a hard drive and years later it fails. And then when it fails, you pull it out of the case and you see the logo and you go, ugh, that company, whatever it was. They make bad drives. And you put that in your mind for a little while, and the next drive you buy is not that kind. But that's silly, because all the drives will fail eventually. And even if they failed at a short time frame, that was only a certain run of them. So it has nothing to do with that. But quietness, and that is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's not every drive that's quiet.
You know, and building your own media center is kind of neat, because you can download movie previews, videos, and you can share them with everybody. You can't do that with a TiVo. I can't push videos to my TiVo.
That is a great point. This really, you know, we had that show a while back about... intellectual property issues with television and the new V-chip that's coming out.
Yeah.
This is definitely a conflict. If I were a television provider, I would be looking at ATI going, hey, you're distributing my content for free. You're allowing people to duplicate that.
Pam, you want to address that?
Pardon?
Do you want to address the issue about the V-chip and the idea that you can record stuff digitally and have it on your computer?
Yep. So the All-in Wonder and a lot of the ATI solutions, like the TV Wonders product lines as well, do allow you to do that, and it is great because as long as content isn't protected, like if you have a DVD that's Macrovision protected, then obviously you can't capture content. But everything else, like your VHS tapes, your TV, and whatever other inputs can be transferred digitally. You can save it in whatever formats you want, edit it, and that way you have it stored forever.
Okay. Well, that's a good way. I mean, you know, you're basically putting the onus on the person to do the right thing. I like that approach. We're going to go ahead and go to Salinas to talk to Alex. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Alex.
What's up?
Yeah, good morning. I have a problem. I have a bunch of sound-related programs installed in my machine, Windows Media, Roxio, Music Mac, Napster, iTunes. And they seem to be fighting between themselves and not allowing me to, you know, burn CDs.
Imagine that. I wonder why.
You know, I don't see the burning CDs as much because I always pick one and make sure that works. But I see this in playing files. You know, you double-click a file and it opens something that you didn't want it to open. You want that one solution. It is really frustrating. When you say
in that case, you just right-click and say open with.
Yeah, definitely. So what is the CD burning problem that you're having?
Well, when I try to burn a CD, I put a blank one in the drive, and then when I close it, it doesn't see it. It tells me that there's no CD there. That happens when I'm trying to use Windows Media, and I don't seem to be able to use the other ones at all.
Okay, you said you had Roxio?
Yeah.
And you're sure it's a CD burner?
I beg your pardon?
You sure that you have a CD, CD burner on there? Yeah, I
used to be able to burn them. I think when I installed Napster, I got problems.
Uh-huh. I think you should go back to Roxio. I like Roxio's stuff. They seem to have good burning capabilities. When you open that up and you say create a new CD, it just doesn't tell you that you've got a blank CD?
No, it goes through the motions to pick whatever I want to put in there, and then when I put the blank CD in the tray, it doesn't see it. It keeps telling me there's no CD there.
That's really strange. When you throw the CD in, it should be fine. It's okay if the operating system doesn't see the CD because it's blank right now. It's not formatted. What should happen is inside the program, when you create the new CD in like Roxio and you add the files to it and you say record, at that point it should say, give me a CD, and it will eject the tray. That's when you want to put in the CD. You don't want to do it until then.
Right, and I think the problem I'm having is that when I put a CD and close it again, then
it asks for it again.
Yeah, right.
Can you trim down on some of the software you've got in there, Alex?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I don't need half of it.
Just reinstall Roxio. That'll probably do it.
Okay.
I would do that. Good luck, Alex.
Thanks
for the call. We're going to go forward to... Oh, now who is this? Okay, Judith in Watsonville. Hi, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a Macintosh...
Can you turn down whatever is buzzing?
No, I can't. Sorry,
okay.
It's the phone.
Ask the question quick.
Okay. I have a Macintosh iBook G4 with the operating system 10.3.9.
Okay.
And I have some different, and I have a dial-up connection to the internet.
Okay.
And I have some different web-based emails, and one of them, the Hotmail, I have a Hotmail account, and it says, oh, you can use rich text, and I go.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to guess on this because I just can't. I have to take you off air. It's too loud.
Okay.
But I'm going to guess on it. So turn up your radio and listen.
Okay.
Wow, that was loud. Okay. So I'm going to guess where she was going from there. Some of her Hotmail, some of her email online on web browsers says that you can do rich text, which means you can bold words and stuff. To do that, you have to have certain compatibility with your browser. And that compatibility sometimes is created only in Windows Explorer. So you can only do that in Windows Explorer. So if you want to try to do it the best possible in a Mac environment, you want to go ahead and get the Firefox browser from Mozilla. If the Hotmail client is doing it correctly, if you will, then Firefox will do it correctly. Safari might not. So go ahead and go down to mozilla.org and download Firefox. Try that out for your email client, and you're set. I hope that worked out for whoever that was I spoke with. Judith, thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go to Gloriana, and where are you? Monterey, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly, and no buzzes at all. What's the question?
Well, it has to do with the Windows media player. I had loaded up the version 10, and it just wasn't working properly. So I rolled back to the version 9, and it's the same problem. It's just a tiny window that will open, and that's it. I can't get it to go full screen the way I used to.
Okay. When you open it up, does it open a taskbar at the bottom, a button at the bottom?
It opens up... I can do a small visualization, which is about 2 inches wide and high.
Uh-huh.
I can also open up a quick panel, which is just to pick the type of music. But it will not open to the full size.
It should be a little... it's really small in the upper right-hand corner.
A square.
Oh. There's square or something. You should be able to click on that, and it should make it full screen.
Another choice thought I have is that in the taskbar at the bottom... If you right-click the taskbar and say maximize window, that might do it. If they're following the spec, and they should since it's Microsoft. So try that. The little tiny button that you won't be able to see in the upper right-hand corner of that small window, or right-click on the taskbar and choose maximize window.
At the very bottom of your screen, the taskbar.
Thank you.
That's what I've been doing, and for some reason, if they won't work, it used to, and then all of a sudden it didn't.
Did you try double-clicking on the movie?
Well, I've been double clicking. I even changed my mouse.
And you even installed a new version. It's so frustrating.
Installed a new version, and it wouldn't work. So then I rolled back to the old version.
Okay.
And now
here's something that works in a Mac environment. Probably won't work in your environment, but it might. If you go into Documents and Settings on your C drive. And inside there, find your user account. Inside there, you'll find a thing called Application Support Files or something like that. And go in and find the media thing and just erase those files. Those should be the preferences for it.
Yeah.
Sean is saying no.
Not on a PC. That's not what we continue to do. Keep tinkering and good luck.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
That's about the best advice we can give, yeah.
Great.
Oh, we have an email from Stan in Bonnie Doon. He wants to know how to get television to the computer. Does he need to use ITV to import television, or is having the 9600 enough?
Having the 9600 all in Wonder will be sufficient, because all you do is just connect your cable to your all in Wonder, and then you can immediately watch TV on your PC.
Yep, you just screw it on directly to the back of the card.
Now, do you support digital cable, too?
No, it does not.
Okay, so you have to have your cable box, and then the output of your cable box goes into it.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. And what's unique, too, is that you can actually multitask at the same time, because we have dual monitor support. You can watch TV on one screen and then do your email on another, and do two things at once.
Now, does it do picture-in-picture?
If you have another additional tuner on top of that, you can do picture-in-picture.
Oh, right, because it's only got one tuner.
Okay,
right, of course.
Yeah.
And you can even do picture-in-picture with high definition if you add the HDTV Wonder to the system, so you can watch high-definition television and analog at the same time.
So do people actually sit around and watch television on their computer while they're working on their computer?
You'd be surprised, yes.
I mean, I don't have a
problem. You're not exactly the most efficient when you're doing that, but...
I've done it. I've been downstairs where I've got my computers and working on something like formatting a drive or doing something on the computer, and go, oh, yeah, what time is it? I want to make sure that show, I catch that show, and I'll put it on the second monitor. Normally, I kind of finish up my work as the show starts, right? And then I'll close down the computer, go upstairs, and watch it.
People watch HDTV.
I don't watch a lot of television either.
They watch HD on their computer.
You've
because the
to.
Screen, the quality. It supports all the quality of HD.
What's the retail on this, Pam, roughly?
So the All-in-Wonder 2006 is $199. And if you would like it high-definition tuner for free-to-air TV, it's $149.
Chris, you had a question?
I was just wondering, the original All-in-Wonder had a really cool feature where you could do transcripts and get all the closed captioning of a show and record the transcripts of a show, and actually we could even pop up the video window if a certain word was mentioned in the transcripts. Is that feature still in there?
It is.
That's so cool.
The feature is called Hot Words, and one question that comes up a lot of the time is that, the software, can I update this? I have an All-in-Wonder, like, 9200 or, an All-in-Wonder 75, whatever, right? Like, something old. What ATI is proud to say is that we actually support all of our legacy products, and the software that you can download on our website will give you the newest features, so you may have not just the closed captioning capabilities, but more on top of that, and it's all free.
Excellent.
So, Chris, are you going to go with a 96 for your new machine? This 2006 All-in-Wonder.
You know, I as a graphics junkie, actually, I'll put up with a fan and go for like the
X800
or okay, is there going to be an X850 All-in-Wonder?
Pardon?
Is there going to be an X850 All-in-Wonder?
So currently we have for AGP the All-in-Wonder X800 XT is the high end.
Is there a PCI Express one?
So there will be in the future, as we realize the PCI Express is really becoming more and more popular.
Oh, yeah. Has to be PCI Express.
So, it's only natural that we have a high-end All-in-Wonder for that.
Yeah.
This program is supported by Union Bank of California, servicing Central Coast customers with over 11 locations. More information on consumer and business services available at ubocom. You're listening to GeekSpeak. Well, it's almost over, so soon you won't be. You'll be listening to NPR. And then after that, Mount Pierce will be here. Well, he's here now, actually, with the Open Road. Wonderful music all day here on KUSP. Of course, this is KUSP Central Coast Public Radio, KDBH San Ardo. And the geeks this morning were Sean Cleveland and Chris Dunphy and Drew Meyer. And we, of course, were speaking with Pam Lee from ATI. You can learn more about ATI's graphic cards and home solutions, entertainment solutions, if you will, like this All-in-Wonder family of cards, at ATI.com. Pam, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We will keep you apprised on how these cards work and how I think Chris's silent machine works, because I think that's a pretty interesting topic. Our producer is Maggie Cleveland. Thank you all for participating on GeekSpeak today. And to you that called in and just listening, thank you for being here. Without us, it would just be us geeking out by ourselves. And who wants to do that? Well, I guess geeks do. But who wants to listen to that? That's the question.
That's true.
This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering extensive selection of computer electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. Stay tuned for the Open Road with Matt Pierce. But first, some NPR news for KUSP and GeekSpeak. I'm Lyle Troxell.